thank them, right? Wow, wonderful. Thank you very much. You've often heard me brag about the students I get to teach every Monday at Heritage College and Seminary, and this is just an example of the caliber of student that we have, so really excited to have them here today with us. We're here as the last of our 10-part series on Created to Thrive. And last week we talked about spirituality, and we're concluding with an interview on spirituality. And I thought one of the ways that we would conclude is to have a conversation with the elders. As elders, we are tasked with the responsibility of overseeing the spiritual health and well-being of the church, and to give spiritual direction, and to maintain the integrity of the church spiritually. So I invited the elders to come be part of this conversation. Ernest Yanfo, who's the other elder in our church, is in Ghana on business, so he was unable to be here. So you're stuck with just Brent and I, okay? We were going to Skype Ernest in, but we couldn't bother. Yeah. it was just going to be so difficult. And anyway, we just, and besides, Ernest said that whatever we say, he's good
right.
with.
He said
gonna,
he agreed with it.
He's going to back us up, you know. And if you don't realize, every Thursday morning, we as elders gather together to pray for all that comes to mind as it relates to the church. You're probably unaware that every Thursday, as elders, we gather together and we're praying for you. We're praying for the spiritual health of the church. We're praying as elders that the Spirit of God would give us wisdom and give us what we need as a church. And when Brent or Ernest are away, we actually Skype them in. And we have our prayer time, you know, in that way. So rarely is it just two of us. We do our best to keep each aware of what is happening in the church and prayerfully. And we work with the leadership team as well. We're part of the leadership team. We're part of the board of directors, and we meet once a month with them and help with direction and all of the issues that come with the church. So, Brent, nice to have you here.
Good to be here.
Yeah. Wonderful. You ready for this?
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. We're gonna see
you
where this takes
add
us.
More stuff. I was saying to somebody after that this is the second service, so we don't have time limits for our conversation.
No.
I was thinking of Paul in Acts 20 about Eutychus that fell out of the window as he talked on and on. Well, you don't have to worry about falling and dying, being resurrected, because you don't have that far to fall.
You don't have that far to fall, right? Just be quiet when you do it, okay? You might wake somebody else up. So we're talking about spirituality, okay? And as elders, what do you see in relationship to everybody that you know? You've been part of this church for how many years?
I calculated between the services now, and it is 36 years.
36 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's older than most of you probably. But
36 years. Wow. And you've been an elder since 2004?
Yeah, 11 years.
11 years.
Even though I was in leadership of different capacities before that. But.
Wow. So you know this community relatively well.
Yeah, and they know me, unfortunately.
And they know you.
That's good, though.
Never let them see you sweat.
That's right.
The rule. That's the rule. Okay, so as part of your experience, what do you see as a church, the biggest impediment that people have to a vital relationship with God? What do you see?
Yeah, and when I speak to this, yes, I'm speaking as an elder, but I'm also speaking to myself and to us. Because I was saying that as I reflected on what should I say this morning, there's many things. I think for me what struck me was a verse, John 1:14 from the Message. And it says this, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." Interesting. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And then he goes on and says, "We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from beginning to end." And I was saying, to somebody recently. We had a house next to us for 20 years, empty, dilapidated. It got torn down last year and new neighbors moved in. And we have begun a conversation with our new neighbors. Do we know them fully yet? No. But it's going to take time. It's going to take time to listen, to share, to be willing to sit and struggle through the hard times with them if needed. And I'm saying that's a conversation that has begun. And I think Jesus moved into the neighborhood. As believers, we've met him, and the conversation begins. But it's going to take time. I was saying from last week, the idea of spirituality. We can talk about spirituality, but unless it's connected to the reality of Jesus, we're losing something. Tim Keller wrote this, without immersion in God's word, our prayers may not be merely limited and shallow, but also unattached from reality. Indeed, if left to themselves, our hearts will tend to create a God that doesn't exist. So I think, for me, the biggest impediment is, for all of us, making that connection with God's word and our prayer life and having that ongoing conversation with God throughout our faith life.
Yeah, for me, it's this four-letter word. I read an article just recently that says there's a four-letter word that if you use it, it's going to destroy your relationships. It's guaranteed to push people away from you. And the four-letter word is busy. If you tell people you're constantly busy, you tell people that your life is constantly busy, it is the best way to push people away. And I think the same is true. Is we can push God away because we can be so busy in our lives. And that's what I experience as a pastor is people are run ragged. And there's something about intentionality when it comes to our spiritual lives that we need to be taking that time. We need to reserve the time that in the midst of the craziness of most of our lives, that we need to be intentional about connecting with God. So that's a biggie that I see. And you know, I said this in the first service. I admit it to my class about a year ago. I joke about the fact that I work for God. You know, as a pastor, you know, kind of joke that I work for God. But the reality is, about a year ago, I realized I may work for God, but I'm too busy for God. And that was a real showstopper for me because, you know, I teach at the college and seminary and pastor here, and it's like I'm in the Word continually. But the danger was it became an academic exercise. It became just going through the motions and all of that. So I've had to, in the last year, really delve into reigniting my relationship because I was as guilty as anyone about just going through the motions, and that was really difficult. So, talking about the importance of spirituality, we can't ignore the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, what can we talk about with the Holy Spirit? Because without the Holy Spirit, really, we're stuck in the mud. Right.
Yeah, and I was thinking, even as we ask these questions and have the conversation around them, these are the very questions that John and Ernest and I pray about most of the time as we meet on Thursday mornings and expand outward to the church. They're questions we need to ask ourselves as a church too, as a church community. And for many people, the Holy Spirit seems to be this nebulous force that, oh, you know, so mysterious, and he is. But he has a lot to say to us, and that's where we learn about what his role is in our lives from Scripture, whether it's John 14 through 16, where we're told he's going to guide us, he's going to lead us, he's going to testify about Jesus, he's going to lead us into all the truth about Jesus. And Jesus is leaving him for us as he departs the earth. Romans 8, he speaks for us. When we can't even mouth the words ourselves, he speaks to us. So as elders, we want to recognize this more and more in our lives. And not to make it, quote, a habit, but a perpetual truth that we operate from. I was saying this morning, John Owen, who is a theologian in the 17th century, A great theologian 400 years ago wrote these words. A minister may fill his pews, his communion roll, which for us is like membership, fill the mouths of the public, but what the minister is on his knees before God Almighty, that he is and no more. Mm. And that is our prayer as we go through talking about that importance with us.
Yeah, that's what generates the heart of our prayer is that the Spirit of God would be active and evident in everything that happens at Village Green. I'm interested in the Gospel of John because John actually introduces a word for the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, which is a comforting presence, right? That the Spirit of God would come into people's lives, energize them, comfort them, be, you know, their empowerment to do what otherwise we couldn't do in the flesh. You know, that's really an important component, is that there's much that we attempt to do by our own skill, by our own ability, but it's a dependency on the Spirit of God to do what we cannot manage on our own. And that's one of the, and we want to be an empowerment of the Spirit of God, not a church that does it on its own ability and strength.
And leave room for the mystery. Like, yeah, it's the Spirit that should be driving us, not us driving the Spirit. It's not going to work. The leadership did a study of a small book called It, which was written by Craig Rochelle, and talking about the Holy Spirit. And he uses that from John 3:8. He said, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. And Paul says that about the Spirit in his writings. He wants that Spirit to give us that power to grasp the past, the present, and all the future benefits we've received. That's exciting stuff, that we have a person in the form of the Holy Spirit living within us that wants us to grasp that. He is the one that will help us accomplish that.
Yeah, it's a great little book, you know, and I love the fact that he said, you know, you can't always define what it is, but you know when it is happening. You know when it, you know, it might be hard to, you know, we can't always define love, you know, but you know when a couple is in love, right? Okay, you just know it. You might not be able to define it exactly, but you know. Same with when the Spirit of God is active. When it comes to the community here at Village Green, what, or even in North America, what breaks your heart about the church? In North America or even here at Village Green, what breaks your heart?
Yeah, personally, I think it's defining, are we a people of fear or a people of faith? With all the frightening news scenes going on about terrorism. Actually, some of that first started for us in the United States and Canada 20 years ago with the Oklahoma City bombing. And that's what I heard one person communicate from a church in Oklahoma. Listen, are we going to be defined by this as a people of fear or a people of faith? And I think last week when John was saying, Jesus came to ignite a movement, to ignite the movement through the church. And he used the passage from Matthew 16 where he talks to Peter and says, upon this rock I will build my church. The context of that setting is Caesarea Philippi, where many of the people believed in some of those shrines the spirits of the underworld came to and fro to the earth, and they were frightened of them and they worshiped them. And Jesus takes his disciples into this spot and says, I'm going to build my church upon this rock, and the forces of hell will not defeat it. And I think sometimes we've lost sight of the authority given to us by Christ as a church.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, to dovetail with that, my great break is the loss of influence that the church has. The church doesn't have the influence to speak into the things of that's happening around in our culture. You know, do we really have the good news? Do we really have a better story? Do we have a better life? Do we have a transformative message? You know, and sometimes you wonder if we get, you know, it's almost like we're retreating and we're huddling back, but the gospel is all about going into the darkness and bringing light to that world. And I think sometimes we're embarrassed about what it is that we stand for.
And it's standing on that truth and knowing that truth. You know, a few weeks ago, some people in my book club, the majority of who are not Christians, made some statements in the book about we have no right to go to another culture and proclaim Christianity. It's done nothing but destroy cultures. And I had the opportunity to say, wait a second. Yes, that is true in some instances. But in the majority of instances, studies we have show where Christian missionaries have gone into a culture. They've been a force for good. And one person, Robert Woodbury, wrote this book called The World the Missionaries Made and did this major study showing everywhere Christians went, orphanages, women's rights, the poor, medicine, everything like that was for the better. And it's those countries are still feeling the blessings of that Christian influence. And yeah. We need to be prepared to say that.
Yeah, Ernest and Mary from Ghana, right? Because part of the study had, you know, the difference made in Ghana versus the country right beside it, Togo.
Yeah.
Right? One that didn't allow missionaries to come in and Ghana that did, and just the difference in advancement over the one
country. The university with books and things like that versus nothing in the other.
In the other, it was incredible.
It's exciting stuff we have to proclaim.
And we have a history too. Right? We have an incredible history that we can stand on of and proclaim. So, we don't need to feel embarrassed about our message and what it is that we stand for. Absolutely.
And in terms of our own community, this is hard. I said to John from last week, we had the passage 1 Timothy 4 up. And the final closing lines of those verses are, this is where we get to instill in you and teach you and instruct you and say, learn these. And I think part of it is we are a community, and what breaks my heart is when people leave the conversation. They give up. 1 Timothy 4 says, struggle, work hard, but they just give up. They're under an illusion that everything should be okay. But then some give up and leave, but others just give up and stay here and don't collaborate and become part of using the gifts the Holy Spirit has given them to bless the community and do that. So that breaks my heart when that happens.
What's your recurring prayer for Village Green?
I think when it comes down to it, my recurring prayer is that the eyes of our hearts, as Paul says, will be flooded with light. To have our eyes flooded with light, the eyes of our heart, the heart controls us. It drives us forward. It motivates us. In spite of what we say, it's our heart that has all of that centered in it. I was thinking, actually, this morning I woke up, and this, I think, is the influence of the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily the snow. But I looked out in the backyard, totally white, and the passage that came to me was from Isaiah 1, where God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. But I looked back a few verses before that, at the very beginning of the chapter, and says, he's saying to Judah, quote his people, he says, you have injured heads and sick hearts. And I was struck by that and saying, here's God saying, I can cure that. I can cure all of the intellectual, the emotional, the relational, the physical. Yeah. Come to me.
Yeah.
So I guess that is my recurring prayer, that we will continue to come to him.
Yeah, my recurring prayer is that we don't just make this a ritualistic, traditional exercise Sunday mornings, that this is an energizing place that celebrates the good news of Christ, and we see people's lives transformed, that it's an exciting place to be a part of. We've done the survey, and overwhelmingly, just to give you a hint at how the survey, I think there's 123 that we've received so far, but there's even more. But overwhelmingly, community was the biggie. So there was two things that were overwhelming in the survey that came up time and time again. But almost everyone talked about how important the community is here at Village Green. And that's something that we need to celebrate and continue. And what really got me about that community is the fact that I was not expecting community to be a big one because I thought going to two services, people would be upset that there's no longer community. But that's not what came up. The community still exists, even though we've technically, you know, how some people think we've separated the congregation, right? But community is still the number one thing that people come back to here at Village Green. So that was really important to see. What's the encouraging thing happen? Let's talk about good news. Let's talk
good
about
news.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
There's lots. I'm going to start, and it's not a top to bottom. It's just I'm choosing these, but I'll mention them. One is life groups. We have always been in this community since the early 70s, a church of life groups, and the majority of time, life groups that were based on sermons. So we just don't come on a Sunday and leave. We get to hash out those truths in smaller numbers and listen to God speak to us through his word. Along with that, obviously, is biblically relevant messages. We have been blessed over the years, John being the most recent pastor who teaches from the word, teaches and strives to give us a message that is not just for the head, but for the heart, to make us go outward. Somebody between service said, I'm so glad you mentioned this. I remember coming here, and we've been well taught with Don and Steve and Doug over the years, and what a blessing as that has made its impact, and those who grew up with that and move forward. We're blessed with biblically relevant messages. And then I have to go to missions, and by mission, I speak big. Many of you don't know that, really, when we look at our missions budget, along with what's set aside for global and local missions, along with benevolent, we are blessed to be able to give close to $70,000 a year out of that budget, out of a unified budget, in a congregation our size. And that speaks to the generosity of the people here who want to see the kingdom of God grow, whether it's the joy store that our people are bringing things in, from the offering of over $5,300.
Yeah, for the Syrian refugees. That didn't affect the regular offering.
Yeah.
Right? So bless you guys for that.
Totally, you know, totally amazing.
Good. And look
Give
at
the Holy Spirit and yourselves a hand.
Yeah. Have you seen the boxes out there? They're almost full, right? That's week one, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. It's okay.
So,
yeah, it's a generous, you know, that's the encouraging. You're an incredibly generous church. Incredibly giving church. And it's wonderful. The community is an important part of what we are here. And let's continue to be that, because community is the biggest attractor for people outside the church. Okay. All right. How do you want to close us off? What's the last thing you got to say to us?
Just one? No. And again, this could be an ongoing conversation, and I hope it is with you, that you will take these questions and have them as an ongoing conversation in your groups. But I said the first service, one of the keys for me was from John 14, verse 9, just after Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I go to prepare a place for you. And Philip says, show us the Father. I can't imagine what the look in Jesus' face must have been towards Philip when he turned and said, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? And I think of myself and John and so on, from time to time, do we say, I just want to see God? And is the question comes back to us saying, from Jesus, have I been with you all this time? You've accepted me, you've believed in me, and you still don't know who I am. So the key thought is, each day, are we able to say to ourselves at the end of the day, I love Jesus more than I did when I started the day? And I can't leave without saying the reality of Advent. I love Advent because it focuses me personally for 4 weeks before Christmas on Jesus, the love song of God, as one song says. Come into this world. and the reality of the Holy Spirit moving in totally a mysterious way that no human could ever have imagined.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and my last thought is basically what this series has been about abundant living. You know, do we really live abundantly? You know, my heart has been, I see so many believers who are living less, a life of less, because they've bought into the culture around them, thinking that that's going to satisfy ultimately. And this series has talked about the areas of life where you may be shorting yourself in terms of what God can actually do in your life and what the Spirit of God can do in your life. So that's my continued encouragement, that we would seek to live abundantly as Jesus told us that he would give to us. If we became his followers in John 10:10, this fulfilled and abundant living. We're going to close this morning. I'm going to ask the Heritage Worship Team to come back up. I'm going to ask every one of you to stand. And we're going to close in a prayer before the last song. Brent and I want to pray for you as we conclude the service this morning, and to just bless you with being able to give this to you as a blessing from the elders into your life.
Yeah, and the blessing is really from the Word of God for me. What I am going to pray for us, for you, and it's from Hebrews 13, and the writer to the Hebrews says this: "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever."
Father in heaven, thank you for the series and the challenges that have come with it. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the hope that we have of living lives that are fulfilling and abundant because of what you have claimed in John 10:10. Lord, give us that sense of wholeness and abundance that we long for in our lives. If there's anything in our lives, be it relationally, emotionally, intellectually, whatever, that is causing us not to experience that, Lord, may you make us aware of it. May you give us the ability to surrender and to live faithfully in your guidance and through the power, empowerment of your Spirit to set aside those things that are probably getting in the way. Lord, help us to look to you each and every day as we begin our mornings, and look to you as we experience life in an abundant way because of what you have promised for us. So thank you, Lord, and we pray your blessing upon this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord God, I thank you for the time that we've spent together today, Lord, growing in your word, Lord, and thriving on the book that you've given us, God. I thank you for the ability to worship in this place, God. And I pray that as we go throughout our day today and through the rest of the week, Lord, that you would help us to thrive in everything that we do, Lord, and that we would be blessed in every way, God. In your name, amen. Go in peace and be blessed as you go throughout your week.